WTF is Retail, presented by Knotted Commerce, the integration specialists for growing retail brands.
Welcome to the WTF is Retail podcast. We have a very special episode today because we don't have a retail brand in, but what we do have is we have some retail experts who have helped some of the fastest growing brands in the world achieve incredible peak periods. So this is going to be an absolute banger. You're definitely going to want to listen to what these two have to say. So yeah, a little something for you guys. So to start off, we have Jim. Could you introduce yourself?
Definitely can, Harry. Thank you very much. A lot to live up to in that introduction there. So let's see if we can do it. Jim Herbert, CEO of Patchworks. Been at Patchworks now for 18 months. Been in e-commerce since the turn of the century, which makes me feel very old because that's nearly 25 years now.
Jeez, don't say that.
Sorry, mate, but it is what it is. Patchworks is an integration platform as a service. We're a piece of integration software with the vision of making it as easy and as quick as possible to get merchants live on a fully integrated tech stack. So that's that.
Awesome. You did live up to the hype there. Well
done. Oh, I'll go now.
Yeah, you're finished. And over here, the second guest, AD.
Yep, AD Collins, so CEO at Knotted Commerce. So like Jim said, we're here to effectively make integration easier. We use platforms such as Patchworks HiPass to integrate all your tech stack needs, retail brands all around. You know, doesn't have to just be EMEA, it can be, we've got customers all over the world. So get in touch if you need our help. But effectively...
Nice early plug there, AD.
Nice early plug.
Get it in the first minute.
Effectively, it's tying the technology together. With tying the technology together, though, comes the anecdotes and the do's and the don'ts and how your business really should operate, such as what we're going to talk about today, which is around peak. So we come with kind of that consultative guidance view as well as to how to do things and not do things and get into trouble if you do them wrong.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, as AD kind of touched on there, this episode we're going to be talking about peak period, the do's and don'ts for retail brands. Obviously, we're coming up to peak. So we want to make this a valuable resource for any brands listening. On top of that, obviously, HiPass platform, agency, integration agency. Mm-hmm. Why is this relationship important and powerful for brands, especially around peak? Why does this exist?
Shall I start, Eddie?
You can.
Yeah, I'm going to do my I'm an old man conversation now because I've probably lived through the first online peak, ultimately. And back then, you know, you were building... So I worked as an agency, as a consultant for a long time. I had my own agency as well. That's part of the Jim Bingo card, apparently, by the way. So there's a tick straight away. Have two shots if you're playing the drinking game. It was really interesting because you used to build a platform. Then you'd have to work out all the hosting and you'd have to make sure it was all in place. And it could actually scale to peak. And then the rest of the year, especially in retail, you know, a lot of retailers... in the golden quarter, the 3 months leading up to Christmas, you basically maybe make 90% of your cash reserves for the rest of the year. So you have to have a good one, right? So the rest of the year, you know, those servers were sitting there doing kind of nothing, ultimately. Mm-hmm. So I think the important thing, what you need, though, you know, the world's moved towards more of a software as a service way of working, where all that scalability isn't so much of a problem. But you have to think around the other aspects of the business. So an integrated business... is all about not having to put the load onto the human beings in your organization because they're really hard to scale, right? I mean, we've literally lived through that ourselves to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. And so if your warehouse suddenly gets deluged with orders and they're all wrong and someone's sitting there trying to recode orders in or do lots of manual returns because there are loads of returns over Christmas time, especially January as well, to be fair, then, you know, that leads to lots of issues. So our software helps solve that in this kind of peak world as it moved away from more technical stuff to more operational stuff, I think. Mm-hmm. And then, AD, I'll let you talk to a bit more. But obviously, the key thing I always talk about on all podcasts, when I'm on stage talking to people, is getting experts in. You know, in the preamble to our starting this, we were talking about football, right? You wouldn't take somebody off the street and plop them into the Chelsea side. You might do because they've got 50 players, right?
Well, they definitely would in the season. That's exactly what they're doing.
That's exactly what they're doing. But the point is, if we just pulled a guy off the street outside us now... he wouldn't necessarily know how to play football to a Premier League level. You can't just pick anybody and say, like, what's your advice on how we can deal with peak? You need experts. And that's where having an expert agency in the room really, really makes a difference when it really matters. So, I mean, Andy, how do you want to...
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right on the wider angle as to why do these types of businesses exist, which for me is to stop retailers ending up getting tied to very one-off bespoke builds. And by having an iPass platform and then an integration agency that are iPass first and they'll only deliver integrations through that commonality of a middleware, prevents that technical tie-in that, you know, business doesn't stop still. 5 years later, you're going to be a very different business, and you need to be able to iterate through every year. So that's why we exist in general, is to stop that technical tie-in to something that might be suboptimal for you in even 6 months' time. In terms of our specific relationship and why I think it works and why a partnership is very key, is we lived and breathed it, right? Why are you trying to create the best of breed iPaaS platform and you've got live customers that you're trying to deliver, configure with, and all the rest of it? You've got effectively a split business that needs equal amount of attention. Mm. Well, we've managed to accomplish a best of breed platform through Patchworks, which has no distraction to be able to keep iterating better and better versions of it over the years. And then you have a service first, service only business and an integration agency that's just there about, we will find the best way to configure that platform for your needs, Mr. or Mrs. Customer. Mm. And the two can coexist and do both very, very well. Trying to do both very well under one business, you either become, in my opinion, very, very expensive because you've got to hire the world's best of every type of role, or you can create bottlenecks and all the rest, and then the rest of the world don't get to share in the value of what the iPaaS can bring because you've got to wait your turn. You don't have to wait your turn when the iPaaS is there free for all to actually use. And that's why then this particular relationship is very important, because I feel that Knotted has that unparalleled experience of how to configure the Patchworks platform well, that can then be that shining light on this is how powerful this is when you do it right. I'd hate to see something we've put so many years into then go out there into the market and potentially be used by the wrong person, the wrong agency, or whatever it may be. And as good as a platform is, it's only as good as the people then controlling and using the platform. So I think that's why it's such a symbiotic relationship of taking away the distractions from each side, sitting on both sides of the spectrum, and then, you know, scalability, specialism, continued improvement on the platform, it all then is able to coexist without any pinch points.
Yeah, okay, perfect. So we're going to get stuck into some peak related questions now. We've now established the roles of why we're all sat here, and why we're experts and why we can talk about peak period. Mm-hmm. So I would start off, this is for you, Jim, a little question. Obviously, with your vast experience, which you alluded to.
Sounds like he's calling you old, there.
Yeah.
That sounded a little bit derogatory.
It is what it is, man.
That was a professional way to say bloody old, mate.
We both sit in that camp, I'm all right. I'm offended too.
Yeah, I'll get to you later, Andy. But yeah, so last year's peak period, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, or the Golden Quarter, or however you want to call it. What did you see last year? From your kind of customers, from Patchworks customers, or just in the market in general?
It was an interesting one last year, because I went on the IMRG podcast and got asked the same question.
Oh, really?
About 2 days after the BFCM had kind of finished over Black Friday, Cyber Monday. And our customers saw a big increase, right? So we saw about a 35% increase in orders going through the customers running on Patchworks. Mm-hmm. But I think across the market, in the UK in particular, actually everybody was down. Mm. So it wasn't so much of an exciting golden quarter for UK businesses last year. Mm. And I think you can feel it. You know, we're recording this the day that Ted Baker shut its doors ultimately. And you know, big brands get impacted too, is what I'd say, by the lack of sales that happened during that really, really important time. So although I suspect that other things went on there, to be fair. And that's one for another conversation with lawyers in the room, probably. but no, I think it was an interesting time. As an operational side of it, it went off without a hitch, actually. So, Ada, you were at Patchworks then, right? Mm-hmm. We had one customer, one of their 3PL, basically, an FTP server went down on the morning of Black Friday, which was fantastic, with a big promotion out there. But, you know, the iPaaS did its job. It alerted that we couldn't reach our system anymore. And then the professional services team, plus an agency, because we were already working with Knotted, as was then, managed to get in, help that supplier rebuild that server, rebuild the connectivity into that server. And then by the afternoon, it went out. So that was a nice thing, actually. Coming back to, you know, the symbiotic relationship. Mm. Our platform said there was a problem. And then experts came in and helped fix that problem and make the changes that were required through no fault of our own. And so that's why customers, you know, like the relationship ultimately. They get that the service they need on which, you know, we keep talking about it, but what is one of the most important weekends and important times in a retailer's life.
Yeah, exactly. And AD, Obviously, Knotted are working closely this year with loads of new and exciting brands, integrating their tech stack, preparing them for peak. Mm-hmm. What are a couple of key integrations that you're seeing from Knotted Commerce, key systems that are being integrated to make sure they have an incredible peak?
I'd say for peak, it's, without probably sounding too simple, is, as Jim's just said, that's such an important part of living or dying as a brand, that that's got to go off really, really well, and it's all about volume and getting stuff through. So if you're going to make sure that something's smooth and transacting perfectly, it's got to be the sell and the send. So it's your e-com platform of choice, and it's your either your warehouse management system or a 3PL if you're outsourcing. You've got to be able to take the orders without it falling over, and you've got to make sure it gets into your warehouse and then distributed as quick as possible. So, you know, we're getting into such a unified or composable kind of spacing e-commerce that's got millions of different things that can be connected to give better user experience and all the rest of it. When you're talking peak to try and sell 80% of your year, get those two things, sell and send, get that connected, mm-hmm. configured properly. So I don't think it's about necessarily the peripherals at that point. Sell and send.
Okay, interesting. And Jim, you kind of touched on it a little bit there, but if there was a couple of standout benefits of implementing an iPass for a brand, you know, maybe they don't have an iPass already, what would you say to them, some of the key benefits for taking on a platform like Patchworks?
So it's, you know, we work with a lot of fast-growing brands. You know, our ICP, Ideal Customer Profile, for people who don't work in the VC world, because I'll be honest with you, I'd never heard of it till I started at Patchworks. It's really embarrassing for an old man. But it's probably brands of a million plus, you know, a million to 500 million. That's a really good place. We've got some brands up there at the big level and some bigger than that that are talking to us now as well, because we can scale to it. Why is it a million plus? If you're just selling things, if you're a small retailer selling out of your garage, if you know what I mean, or out of a shop because you've already got a physical store, you're probably going to get away with using a Shopify app if you're on Shopify, or a BigCommerce app if you're on BigCommerce, or Commerce, well, you won't be on Commerce Tools at that level. So you probably don't need a Patchworks to a certain extent. Mm. But as you get more sophisticated, you start putting in more returns apps, you start maybe putting in an ERP like NetSuite or Odoo or something like that. You can start going down that route of building out loads of apps. But back in the olden days, we used to talk about DLL hell with Microsoft, where I did a lot of development. I'm an ex-coder, sad to say. Broke the fourth wall there on purpose. where your DLLs, your libraries on Windows would clash. And that can happen with apps as well, right? Because a NetSuite app is developed in isolation to a PeopleVox app, which is developed in isolation to a Revenue app, which is developed in... So those Shopify apps work brilliantly on their own, but you start to get yourself into a lot of point-to-point connections, I think you mentioned before, AD. So what you can do with an iPaaS is put in a proper integration layer. You know, I worked as an enterprise architect for years in some really big brands, and I'd always talk about putting in some sort of ETL tool or architecture layer as part of service-oriented architecture, as it was known back then, with the idea being that, you know, you can effectively have one very simple tool that orchestrates that data so that things don't clash against each other. Yeah. So if you start hitting the sort of like, you know, 1 to 5 million, and you put in the ERP and you put in your returns and you put in this, having that integration backbone and Patchworks makes a huge amount of sense. Because then as well, you know, at peak, it might be that you suddenly discover that you've blown up on TikTok and you need a TikTok integration. Well, you can put that TikTok integration in really quickly without having to worry about the rest of your tech stack. Mm. You know the orders are coming in the right way, and then it will still carry on working with your returns because you've got the proper architecture in place.
Okay. Yeah, it'd be too easy to go, okay, in another world, so in the other alternative scenario that I talked about that we exist to avoid, is if you've gone down this bespoke route, someone's built you something kind of cool, but it's bespoke, and then you go, actually, it's over there that the business is growing, it's the TikTok shop. Well, what's that then? Rip it all up and start again, typically. Mm. At the very least, you're having to do a lot of unplugging and reconfiguring of the plug pins before you know that's you can kind of sense through the iPass route, you can sense where the next bit of traffic is going to come from and get it in there very quick, ready for the next kind of peak.
I'd like to take a second to thank our season 3 sponsor, the Big Fat Knots Ecom Lunch, for all your ecom networking needs. You can find out more about their events and how to register on LinkedIn, the Big Fat Knots Ecom Lunch.
And AD, what's, not to scare any brands listening here, but what's worst case scenario for a brand who doesn't have the correct infrastructure or integration in place, for example, this peak? What can go wrong?
Yeah, so we'd see it year on year. For me, it was, there's sometimes an over-reliance. Think, okay, we've done the right thing. We've bought in the iPass, it's configured and all the rest of it. So the technology is going to solve everything. But actually, you've still got to rehearse yourself. You've got to prepare. You've got to have your business operations right. So if you're over-reliant on the tech is just going to solve all the problems, what used to happen, I've seen many, many times, is you wouldn't get, the business wouldn't then sync up and their warehouse and get their stock levels up to, let's say, Shopify or BigCommerce, whatever, in time. So then you're already selling on a false floor, the numbers aren't right, and straight away you've got oversells. Or you're reliant on the technology in a way that the iPass or the integration agency can't help, in terms of there is a lag from one system to another getting data in and then sending that message back up. It's just the world we live in. It's just, we don't have instant on. It's like, you know, if you want a car that goes 1,000 miles an hour safely, it doesn't exist yet. It will in the future probably, but not right now. So if a business thinks, well, we're all integrated, so everything's fine, so let's just open the floodgates, what can happen there is, if you're a retailer and you've got this high demand product, you've just let it kind of do its thing, everyone's gone to try and buy that, there's like a 3 to 5 minute loop from the warehouse saying it's now off the shelf, tell Shopify or BigCommerce, whatever, that it's off the shelf. You've already had another 100,000 people try and buy that item. That's 100,000 items that you don't have. And the worst case scenario is you can't replenish that stock. If you're a business that's selling something that you, when the stock's gone, it's gone. The only way through that is after Black Friday, when everyone's gone, oh, look at these great things that I'm waiting to get delivered. And the very next thing you get isn't a confirmation. It's a, sorry, this isn't in stock, we're going to have to refund you. And it rips businesses apart. Yeah. So it's not the integration. Yes, if the integration's not done right, then it's going to bottleneck or blow up or a system goes down or whatever. So you've got to get that right. Get that right well in advance of peak. So you've tested it and load tested and all the rest of it. But then it's all about the rehearsal bit. It's what are you going to do? What date are you going to start? Because I've been sat there. I can remember landing in Ireland a couple of years ago and then getting a panicked phone call where, like, we're overselling. We're like, didn't realise you was in sale until, you know, they'd gone a week earlier than we knew. The communication, the rehearsal, the dry runs, the campfire chats to make sure that your stock syncs and your stock splits, or if you are in a Shopify world, you need to rely on something like a stocker from Patchworks, which sorts out the real-time alignment between your different marketplaces, because little do many people know, they might have 20 marketplaces selling all over the world on Shopify. Think, it's all fine. One warehouse that's holding all your stock. And before you know it, they're all grabbing from the same pot and you've oversold just like that.
Yeah.
And then you've got the problem I just talked about. So getting your stock syncs and your stock splits right, or putting in the stocker product that sorts all that out for you and kind of in real time keeps hold of the stock levels, that has to happen beforehand. So it's about rehearsal rather than wait for the day and go, let me see how magic this tech is, because it doesn't matter how great the tech is. If you've not rehearsed and got the operations and requirements nailed down, it's going to go wrong. And it's always about oversells and undersells.
Yeah, exactly. So, oversell, exactly. I had a customer, it's about the stock itself, right? Mm. I had a customer years ago, it's one of the big department stores in London, and they accidentally sold, well, I say accidentally, they shipped from store, right, from floor, without any systems in place. And they weren't really sure of their own stock position. It wasn't to do with peak as such, but they oversold one dress. They had an Alexander McQueen dress, 12.5 grand in 2007. And they sold it off the floor. They sold it online within half an hour of each other. They lost a customer that spent 100 grand a month with them. That's 1.2 million a year from that store manager's budget. It's gone, right? And so knowing that, you know, there's only so much of that stock can allow you to put in the like say outside of the integration platform as such or the tech piece, but you can know, well, maybe if we get down to 40 of these, we calm down a bit, or we take it off the website and only sell it in the store or something to make sure that you know, you don't go crazy. The other one, you know, you mentioned oversell and undersell, is making sure the stock gets there right. Black Friday this year is late, and so, you know, if you've got a 14-day fulfillment period for sending stock to your customers, it doesn't arrive before Christmas Day, if it's, you know, in the UK or whatever, could be an interesting situation, right? A lot of brand damage. So it's really making sure you've got that reliable data.
Okay, and this is a question for both of you. If we were going to take our integration hat off for a second, what other tips outside of that would you kind of give to brands to achieve this, you know, an amazing peak period?
Right, do you want to start, Ishalan? You start.
Okay, I'll give the first one. Maybe we bounce back and forward a little bit.
Yeah.
The first one, and this is very personal to me, because I used to hate the idea as a young kid being dragged to the next sale where everyone gets crashed through the door and all the doors are locked. So for me, it happened in Black Friday as well. There's, you know, with technology, you can start putting the wall up, but letting people put their wish list together and all the rest of it. And it creates that surge, that crush at the door, which in my opinion isn't necessary. You can do marketing slightly differently to get the anticipation up and all the rest. But if you're a growing brand and customers, and we've seen many of them at Patchworks that have gone from nothing to hundreds of millions and they're on the way to unicorn status, it's not so bad now. But when there was that hype around the brand, but they were still new, then you think, if I don't get this, it's going to sell out very quick. So creating that anticipation by locking down the site, saying, you know, here's the timer, it's going to be open in 3 hours, you're just going to burn a fuse potentially. And some of those brands, when they've come out the other side, are starting to flatten that kind of curve a little bit now. So, well, okay, we'll go slightly earlier, slightly longer, and just make sure the marketing is on point to make sure that there isn't this. You need some level of hype, but you don't want the hysteria, because then you get everyone tripping over each other like you did when I did when I was at Next and hating going in with your parents and everyone's ripping stuff out of people's hands. So for me, it's trying to flatten that hysteria down a bit. And I've seen that with some real great brands over the last few years, have just been flattening out, going slightly earlier, slightly longer, and just calming the situation down. That's my biggest thing, because I don't like the next sale.
It's based off no facts, just your childhood experience.
Yeah, so all retailers out there, do what makes me feel better.
I think, you know, I talked a bit earlier on about the technology. Make sure it's going to work, if you know what I mean. So if you're in SaaS land, you're paying subscription fees for that reason, so you don't have to worry about it as much.
Yeah.
But even then, you know, if you're Taylor Swift, right, as an example, there you go, I didn't think I'd be quoting that one. You know, that really hit Shopify hard last year when she launched her store. Famously, it was all over LinkedIn at the time, because, you know, she's massive, right? And so make sure you've got some contingency in there. Maybe you will need to put up a queuing system, which are very easy to implement. And again, particularly if you're on-prem, if you've got an on-prem thing and you're doing a massive set of promotions and discounting based around the golden quarter, make sure you've got that in your back pocket in case you need it, I'll argue. But yeah, making sure your tech right is okay. Make sure you've got enough stock, obviously. That's a ridiculous one. But, you know, fidget spinners, famously a few years ago, they sold out everywhere, right? You know, there's always something. I worked at Disney a million years ago, and it was Project Lightyear, named after Buzz Lightyear, right? And they famously sold out and couldn't make any more. So, you know, they were all on the secondhand market, pre-eBay, basically, back then as well. So those are really key. The one thing I'd actually add, I think for this year, and I saw a bit of it last year, is reward your loyal customers. So if you've got the capability to open almost a friends and family store or something like that, which you can, right? If you're on one of the SaaS e-commerce platforms like Shopify, spin up another site, close it off, send it to your loyal customers. You know, you're going to get special access, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. A week before, you know, that stuff, people lap that up. The conversion rate goes through the roof. So, you know, both of us, I think, sit more on the kind of integration side than the business side. Mm-hmm. But that's something I've seen work really well with our customers.
They do that with the... So I'm a UFC fan, and they do that if you're part of the UFC Fight Pass. They give you early access, a special page.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tickets. It's still crazy expensive and a nightmare, but... still getting in there early.
Well, and that's a great example, though, of something that might have merch that will have actually sold out before it goes on to general sale, right? Yeah. So you get rewarded by being a loyal fan.
Well, it gives me a chance to get the tickets, at least. If you just wait to general sale, it's impossible.
Yeah.
I'd like to say as well, staying away from the integration like you've asked me to, is what I saw, I'll name them right now. So Lounge, one thing they did a couple of years ago, and they've done it ever since, might have been 3 years ago, To go away from this idea, you know, and again, I'm probably going towards the next kind of Boxing Day sale analogy here, where it's all like, I'll go get all your crap out from the back of the stores that's never sold and sell all your old stuff. It's to try and get away from that. So Lounge would do for Black Friday, they do like some new black numbers, like for their matching sets and all the rest of it. So to have something that's specific to the sale, so rather than we're just going to bring all our stuff out and make it cheaper, it's more about, well, actually, we're going to take this moment in time and produce a product, bring out a product that's not going to be out there at any other time of the year. So it's specific to the sale. So it's, yeah, it's less about slashing prices and all the rest of it at that point. Yeah. It's more about we're celebrating this time of year where we want to stimulate the economy and all the rest. So
yeah.
I think that's good.
Yeah, that's, it's interesting you said that actually and brought that to the table, because I was, this morning I was doing a podcast, I was telling you guys were wild, the deodorant, and she said the exact same thing, that Black Friday they try and release a special type of product to get new customers interested who have been on the fence. And
and a good way as well to tie in that point and my first point about flatten it and go a bit longer is, and it also makes it operational sense as well, which is where I nerd out being an ops guy, is try and categorize. So let's say you do a 2 week or 3 week Black Friday, then categorize it down. So get your marketing aligned to say, right, first week, if you're a, you know, you're selling pots and pans, it's going to be about this product set, this SKU set, and you can kind of track through then. And then if you get towards the end of your third week, you know, this didn't go too well, you might be able to bring it back in. But don't go, all items must go, here's rock bottom prices on day one, and then, you know, you're left scrattling around at the end of day three. Subdivide it down. Say, you know, first week is about this set of SKUs, the second week is about this set of SKUs. It eases operations, it creates the hype more over the 3-2 week period, whatever you're going to go with. And you can be in just a bit more control, and you'll find that longer tail and keeping that interest up. And a lot of brands that we've worked with over the last few years, they've all told us the same. Where other businesses have done poorly or it's dipped, they've actually done better through some of that longer tail. You know, it's not as frenzied and exciting as that first hour can be from previous years. But when you look back at it 2 or 3 weeks later and it's felt almost dull, which is great, you go, oh, actually, we've broke all the records. So, yeah, do that through SKU categorisation.
And to build on that one last bit, you mentioned the kind of longer tail. I think some brands this year that are going to really do well are the ones that have put in drop shipping or marketplaces. It's about range extension. I think you've met him. Phil Boyle used to work at Miracle, now at Marketplace, one of their competitors.
Yeah.
I met him a few years ago, and he'd done a lot of work with a high street brand, and they went live on a marketplace. It was 2019, because it was just before COVID. And their biggest selling item, they're a fashion brand, that year at Christmas was a Christmas tree with that brand's name on it, right? So it was dropship via the marketplace. It sold more than anything else on the website. It wasn't even on the website until September that year, because they didn't have the marketplace in place. So if you can do that range extension thing, I was on stage with the head of marketplace of Tesco at a conference a few weeks ago. They've just relaunched. And then you've got people like Virtual Stock that we work really closely with Patchworks. If you can build that range extension, you've still got time now, right? Depending on when this goes out. We're in August, everybody.
No pressure on the edit.
No pressure, yeah, exactly.
It'll be out by the end of the day, Jim, don't worry.
Yeah. But there's still time, right? You can get these marketplaces and dropshippers lined up really quickly, and that'll give you more to sell. Which actually, I mean, if it's dropshipping, you have to care about the stock, right? It has to really work. If it's marketplaces, it's like the Amazon, isn't it? It's served by somebody else. So you maybe don't care quite as much, because they're dealing with the support calls, if you know what I mean. But there's a lot that can be done there, basically.
We know there's an extra podcast guest there.
I know, we did, didn't we? Yeah, exactly.
What do you think about Black Friday?
I thought it was Mikel Arteta, actually.
Yeah, just hanging about. All right, finally, just to wrap things up then, a little final question for you guys here. It's for both of you. What do you think the future of integrations in e-commerce looks like for brands?
So from my perspective, I think what we've got to consider is the generation that's coming in with their kind of monetary spending power now. They're far more conscious, eco-friendly and all the rest of it. So for me, it's got to be about the user experience to stop the buy and returns. So you'll have kind of virtual, I've seen quite a few of them now, amazing things like your virtual, what you call it, dressing rooms and all the rest of it, to try and get to the point where you know it's going to look good, you know it's going to fit you. There's ways of doing that to kind of slow down the fashion a little bit to then make sure that what you get through the door you're going to keep. But also then kind of product passports. So, you know, it's like, I remember it happened almost overnight, as far as I was concerned, where all of a sudden everyone cared about how many calories was in a burger. So then you look at your McDonald's menu and it's no longer just the price of the burger, it's the calorie count right next to it. And then that's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So I think,
Yeah.
I've never noticed.
No, you're not? Maybe should.
Sorry, Eddie.
Yeah. So you don't go in there. I'm just eating fast food. But yeah, so for me, it's like the idea of greener ways of making sure we're not creating too many returns, and having carbon footprints against every product. And what that means for integrations is there's going to be a million other really useful and valuable plugins effectively that need to be brought into a really to give a brilliant experience as a leading progressive brand. You're going to need 10 more of these little things that all seamlessly come together and make it look like you're just this one brand that's got all this magic happening that means that I know exactly what I'm going to buy is going to fit and look good. I'm not going to send it back when it's going to come. It's going to be green packaging. I'm going to know exactly the carbon footprint of that platform, of that product. And all that will be a million other businesses providing that information. And that's all going to need integrating, but it's going to need to look seamless. So it's like it's come from the brand. So for me, it's about that tapping into that next generation of eco-conscious buyer and making sure that they've got this concierge feel with a green twist.
Okay, interesting. And Jim, what are you thinking?
On the purely integration platform side, I think that's what I should talk to as a CEO of Patchworks. It's increasing democratization of those platforms, right, and of integrations in general. So, you know, our stated vision is to make it as quick and easy as possible to get systems integrated, right? And we have lots of partners that obviously help us do that. We've launched our blueprints, partners like Knotted can build out of the box blueprint integration and have it hosted in our blueprint store, earn referral fees, and you know, we price it together and work out what it should look like. I think going forward, it's really interesting. We're already no code, low code, right? To make it as easy as possible to build those blueprints, build those integrations. You know, we haven't mentioned AI, but I'm going to mention it now.
Here we go.
You know, we've already got in our kind of dev team, you know, we have custom scripting in the platform for enterprises to do transformations. One of the devs has already built a kind of like, you know, can you write this script for me? Convert NetSuite X into Shopify Y. And I think there'll be more and more of that. And so I think the easy integrations will become, or the standard or common integrations will become increasingly democratized with platforms like Patchworks. Yeah, yeah. And then the agencies will be there for the bit that AI can't give you, right? So it's Gen AI, you know, it can write code because it's probably ingested all of Google's example code. It can come up with some marketing copy, but it can't have original thought. And that's where you always need an agency there to go, oh, hang on, have you thought about introducing this bit of technology? Or why are we even doing it this way? Why don't we do that instead? And so I think it'll be, you know, the commodity stuff will become increasingly commodity, but the complicated stuff will always be there. And then, you know, it'll be effectively the same model as it is now. A couple of companies working in harmony.
Yeah, I agree. It's a really good point to bring up. I think that whole being closer to the finish line from the start,
yes,
is going to be where we'll be at. So we don't have to quote eight. Like I remember, you know, there's not many people who's been in my position where I can quote from the old platform to the new platform for Patchworks. And some people only know what they know, so they'll pick up the new Patchworks platform. They go, "That's great. It's all plugged together." I know that took 8 weeks. I know that button press took 8 weeks. Only 6-12 months ago. So that's amazing. And the more of that we can do, then the next big thing, which still takes us 8 weeks, will now be a button press. And the closer we get to the finish line via the iPass, the better, because then it's more about the grey matter and the thinking and the professional service side that then we can bring to say, well, how do we look at your business? You're not just buying for time to code or keystrokes to get things integrated. You're buying the value of the anecdotes, the experience, the thinking, because so much of the keystrokes are automated.
Yeah.
That's number one for the future for integration in my eyes.
Awesome.
My eyes.
Okay, a little fun question. Isn't on the list of questions, but I thought let's do it. So a little.
What animal would you be?
Well, it's not far off that one. Right, let's start with Jim. Let's start with you. Your favourite brand you're going to shop at this peak period?
Oh, that's a good question. That is a really good question.
Give me time to think.
Yeah, I need to think about it. I mean, I don't buy a lot of clothes, obviously. although I have recently spent a lot of money in Marks and Spencer's and Bellstaff, actually. You know, I do love a bit of Bellstaff. I've got a nice jacket. But as it's coming up to peak period, it will probably be Masters of Malt.
Okay, interesting. Ooh, good little shout out. Yeah. AD? You've had time to think now.
Yeah, more of the same for me. So I'm quite a Patchworks logo whore in terms of I've seen many brands come through and my wardrobe is full of it all. And I'm a hiker, I'm an outdoorsy guy. So all of the mountain equipment,
I knew you were going to say that for some reason.
That's a good one.
My wardrobe's stuffed full of it. And, you know, Passenger, Finisterre. I like my eco brands, and I like outdoor equipment and outdoor clothing. So I'll be buying more of the same of that, I think. And I've got three boys, all at the age where they're doing Duke of Edinburgh and all the rest. So there's always an excuse to keep putting them in.
Might as well extra jacket for you or something.
Yes.
throw it in the car.
Where did that get? How did that get in there? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Although saying that, I've just named brands that don't typically dial into the Black Friday hype. So I'll just be buying them whenever
you fancy.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, so wrapping up. Anyone who's listening, if there is anyone listening, hopefully there is at this point, thank you for getting this far, listening to AD, Jim and myself chatting. AD, if people want to find out more about Knotted Commerce, where and how can they do so?
So LinkedIn is our place we go. We've got a website, we're called Knotted Commerce. You'll find us through Googling that.
But and that's also a K-N,
Knotted.
Don't want to get that wrong.
The Knot. But LinkedIn, we're quite active on there. We're a new brand. We started... turn of the year, so obviously we're trying to be quite active in LinkedIn and our marketing, and a lot of thanks to marketing teams such as yourself. Find us on LinkedIn, you find me, I'm quite active on there. I've come from the back room engine room oily ops guy to have to be the partnership sales and marketing guy,
the
now
face
so
of the business.
You might hate me right now, because I know I'm all over LinkedIn trying to get a presence there, but it's for good reason. It's because I know that we add value, and you need to know us to know when to ring us and all the rest. So LinkedIn is the best
voice.
Place.
Yeah, huh? You have an authentic voice on LinkedIn, Amy. And that's
a
good thing.
I try. Yeah.
Amongst all the, what coming second at the Olympics taught me about sales and B2B sales posts you get on LinkedIn.
No.
Is it worth me mentioning Amy's ghostwriter?
Now we will tell the people what's the end of this. Yeah.
That's a good point, though. Yeah, LinkedIn, but it's all true, authentic stuff. I'm not going to go on there, and none of it's ChatGPT.
I don't have enough time to post that much for AD on LinkedIn. I'm too busy for that stuff. And Jim, what about Patchworks?
So we do have a website. We are patchworks.com. So you can find on there information about the product, a link to our YouTube channel, a link to all our documentation that's all available online. We had one of our competitors sign up for a free trial last week, which was hilarious, under a dodgy email address. So I ended up chatting to him on LinkedIn. He loves the product, which is very nice, very odd, but there we go. And we are on LinkedIn, so do give us a follow on there as well. You'll see that we post sort of two or three times a day, mostly about customer stuff, but also, we do weekly product releases. Obviously SaaS, so everybody who's subscribed gets all those releases and all those upgrades as part of the subscription fee. You'll see us on there as well. So link in with me as well if you're interested. Always reach out. People know that I'm always free with my advice or conversation. So
we're a rare breed that has our LinkedIn notification set to on.
A
lot of people that probably don't see anything, and then 6 months later they go, oh, look, what's happened there? We're quite active guys.
You can tell who's really on LinkedIn about who reads your Sunday morning post, to be honest.
Yeah.
The ones who are addicted.
At the test bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for coming on. It's been hopefully a very valuable chat for any brands listening. It's been great. I've enjoyed it.
Thanks, Harry. Nice shirt, by the way.
Thank you. I definitely didn't switch this before the podcast.
You just made
I was regretting not saying that at the start. That's a nice shirt.
Yeah, it's not bad.
You just made that suit change completely pointless by saying that.
I'm like that guy. I'm like the kind of person, the act on Britain's Got Talent that's always on there with a quick change.
Okay. You were indeed.
Yeah. All right.
Cool.
Cheers. Pleasure.
Cheers.